Our first reading for this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, starting at verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him. He gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Here ends this first reading from Exodus.
Our gospel reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Here ends our reading.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we gather today, we're going to be a little interactive here. Before service, on the slides going on, you might have noticed for the past couple of months, there's been a reflection question. I don't want to know if you've noticed it or not, but today's reflection question was this. Christians are people that blank. When you think, what are Christians? Christians are people that fill in the blank. I don't know if you took time to reflect upon that when you came in, and you might take a moment as I'm talking about this to think about that, and then in a few moments I might have you think about that. You might even put some things down if you're watching online while we're live right now, and Keisha can tell me if someone puts something in the comments, but you might yourself chime in. I might see if you have something you want to share of Christians or people that blank, because the way you answer that will say something about maybe your view of the faith, your view of Christians, because there's a lot of different voices that will tell you what Christians are, who Christians are. I mean, you look around, and currently, how do people view Christians? It doesn't take much to see that surveys will tell you. A lot of people will say Christians are arrogant, Christians are judgmental, Christians are hypocrites, Christians are just nasty people. I shared a couple months ago that Christians are bad tippers, and that confused a lot of you. But that was something where in the world of going and being in the service industry, they're known for being notorious on Sundays for being bad tippers. It actually shocked people when they found out there was a group of Christians because they said, "But you tip so well," because that's what they're used to. And so as you think through this, Christians are people that blank. What are some of the things that you automatically jump to? What is something that you look and say, this is just what Christians are? You might have an answer you want to share now. Maybe you don't. Christians are people that share God's love. The idea of sharing And what is it you're sharing? It's God's love that you point to. Other things that might jump out to you. People that have hope. And now it becomes, that is something you then unpack of what is the hope that you have. There's a whole dialogue you can have of what is the hope, just like there is with the whole thing of what is it for God's love, of what is the hope you have. Or take a few more moments if you have others that are jumping out to you for this time. I know it's a bit unusual to have an interactive sermon. Chris? People that believe, absolutely. And now we get into the whole thing of what are you believing in? Exactly, it's the Christians or people that believe. Kim, did you have one? That might have been a stretch. Follow people the best you can, absolutely. And now you get following. Yes. Pray. There we go. We have now an action of the faith, praying. Keisha, anything on the comments? Good. I just wanted to make sure we're not excluding those that are watching on the stream. But here's one that we get from our text today, the reason this question came up, because it's one that I was almost guaranteeing wasn't going to come up. Christians are people that listen. Not something you would normally go to. And it's one that, if you look at the text today, what is it that God says? This is my son. Listen to him. So many people, when they talk about the issues of the world around us, well, how many times have you heard, or maybe you said today, people just don't talk anymore. People don't listen anymore. There's no dialogue. There's no conversations. It's all one-sided. It's how many times as Christians are we guilty of the same thing? That we don't even go to God's word, being willing to hear what it says, because we already know this is what you're saying, God. I already know what's going to be happening. I already know what we're going to be doing. I already know where this is going. That we're not willing to even hear from God what it is that he has to say. This is one of the amazing things. When a survey was done, this was coming out of a Baptist congregation that surveyed its members, that they went and looked around all of its different churches, and what they found was that of people who were active attendees, and by active, they had to define that to be they attended at least once in 2 months, which again is a whole separate little dialogue of that's now what active is in today's world. Only 60% say that they take time to be in devotion. How much are we willing to listen to God? This becomes one of those things where as we look to this, and this is something where as people who we look and hold up our Bibles, we can look at our scriptures and say, this is the word of God, God's holy divine word that is there to instruct you about the word made flesh that has come for you. What do we do with it? We look and say, that's nice, God. And we say, but I don't really want to listen to it. I don't want to hear it. And then it becomes the sad reality of how do we then treat it? We look to the Middle Ages, and I know it becomes just that fascination for me about the Middle Ages, but one of the greatest possessions that people had in the Middle Ages, you would see people that would be saving up money, was that they could then buy a devotional book if they could read. And we who have so many Bibles, when I worked at a Christian bookstore, the average was that the average American would have around 8 to 12 Bibles in their house. But yet most people have never actually read it. Think about that. You are surrounded by the complete word of God for you. His word to you about his message of love, of hope, about who we are following. And we look and say, I'll get to it one day. It then goes to the sad conversations we all have when we look and so many people say, Pastor, what is wrong? I don't get why my kids, my spouse, my grandkids, my friends, those around me, the neighborhood, the community, fell away. Well, what are we showing as God's people? Are we showing that we are people that listen to the greatest words that are there, or are we reflecting that we are people that are pulled along by other things, and that's something that you get to later on in life? It doesn't really matter too much. These other things are of greater importance to you. It then becomes the sad truth where, as we look to what is it that is leading you, guiding you, what are you trusting, and who are you, that listening is a challenge even for you. If you are saying, I am in devotion, I am in Bible study, I am going through things, well, how much we struggle. Because not too long ago, a couple weeks back, we had a Bible study where we were talking about the fact that even for church workers, being in the Word is a challenge. They often call it occupational hazards, but that around 70 to 80% of people that are church workers are saying they don't feel fed. Because here's the problem. As a society, we don't listen. One of the things that we often do in premarital counseling and when there's marital counseling is teach people active listening. Because there's a big difference between saying you're listening and just saying, yeah, I can repeat back, that's what you're saying. Where are you actually letting it be heard, hearing that this is God's word for you, not just a word that you can just regurgitate back, or for church workers, often the, oh, here's a good word, I could preach on that, I could teach on that, I can use this for a Bible study, I can use that for another person. Or on the flip side, are you looking and just saying, it washes over me and it doesn't do anything? Because what the counter side often becomes, one side is going and saying, how can I use this? How can I teach this? What can I use this for in the next project? The other side just kind of says, that's nice. I'll store that away as a nice little nugget. It's, where are you? Are you hearing God's word when he speaks? And if you're saying you struggle with that, you're not alone. God's people have been in the same boat for a long time. God's people haven't been doing this right for quite some time. Because the fact that God himself had to say these words to his disciples who were cowering in fear saying, Lord, it's good to be here. And they were saying this out of fear because they knew not what they were saying. Well, that speaks volumes to how much we might be on either one of those two sides. We might be looking and saying, ooh, look, Jesus is here and he's transfigured. Look, this is amazing. We can get people. We can have a whole little community. We can do this. This is great. Or maybe you're looking and saying, oh yeah, I like this. This is peaceful. This is nice. I can just take this. But that's not God's word for you. Because that's the amazing thing, that throughout this event, throughout what happened here today that we celebrate and remember, we hear of a God who says, listen, as Jesus led them up on the mountaintop and has the two people that stand for the Old Testament in its completeness standing there beside Jesus talking to him, and he talks to them, reminding them that this is the moment that every society, all the world, everyone is waiting for, is there. That God himself has to say, this is my son, listen to him. And he even tells them, don't talk about this until I die and rise again. That they got a glimpse, that we have a glimpse, that you have God's word for you as a glimpse to sustain you on your journey of faith, to keep you going. That he says, hold fast, because he's going to a cross. He's going to a cross so that he could die and rise again to restore, renew, reclaim, and be there for you and for the world that is in need. This day reminds us of who it is that we are called to listen to and follow. This day reminds us that it's not just something that we can look and say, well, that will preach, that will teach. And it's not just something that we can look to and say, well, that's nice. This is the word made flesh, the word from the beginning that we celebrate and rejoice in. And so, later on today, we will be burning our palm branches from last year. We will be looking and reminding ourselves that even our best efforts, when we celebrate Palm Sunday, singing and shouting, Hosanna in the highest, even that dries up and shrivels. But he remains. He remains and will hold fast for you. There will be slips of paper on the back where we can take time to pause and remind ourselves that we need to listen to him. There are many things that are pulling us all over the place that we need to go and listen fast to what he is saying. And so we're encouraging you to take a moment to pause, reflect. What is holding you back from listening? And Lent is a time where we then either take something up or leave something behind, and we'll be burning those with the palms as well. A reminder that we strive and try as best as we can, and it might not work, but that the goal is not to say, look what I did, to puff ourselves up. The goal is to go back to just like Ash Wednesday, to all the sin that might be there, to see the cross that is there in the end. That smudge that he took upon himself in the form of a cross. That where is he going from this mountain? He is going down to the valley of death itself, so that you could be raised up. So reflect on how it is that you're listening as we go into Lent. Reflect on how well you hear God's word and what it might be to remove some of the hurdles that stop you from hearing what he's saying to you. Because he says, listen to him. And follow where he's going. In Jesus' name, amen.